So after wishing everyone a Shavuot Tov, if you take a look on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara has already established that the bracha on Bedikas Chametz is Al Bir Chametz with an Al, despite the fact that a bracha has to be recited before the mitzvah, and we're not 100% sure about the language of Al, whether it's appropriate Lahaba mashma for an act that I'm about to implement, but the Gemara says that Enochinami, we accept the opinion of Al Lahaba mashma, and therefore it's appropriate to recite the brach of Al on the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. The Gemara says that the word over, in the context of over lasiyosan, refers to samuch lasiyosan, so you shouldn't make the bracha too early. It should be right before the closest last moment before the actual maisa mitzvah. And the Gemara quotes three different psukim, as we saw on Thursday of last week, to prove that the word over means right before something is about to be done. The Gemara then establishes that there's an exception to the principle of over lasiyosan in the cases of tefillah and shofar. The Gemara rejects shofar, and in tefillah zakati gavra delo chazi, which means that it's not appropriate for him to recite this bracha before the tefillah. And there are various explanations. Some say it's not appropriate because he's a ger that's being misgayer, so he can't say asher kinshanu mitzvos v'tzivonu before the tefillah. He's not yet a Jew. Others say that Akati Gavlo Chazi means that he's a Balkari, and an Ezra made a takana that a Balkari should not recite brachos before he goes to the mikvah, so he can't recite the bracha, and therefore they establish the bracha after the tevilah. We find another example of a mitzvah where you don't make the bracha before the mitzvah, but rather after the mitzvah, and that was the case of Netilas Lulav, which is called Mide'agbe Nafikbe. And the Rambam says that in these two cases, the case of Tvila and the case of Netilas Lulav, the bracha is recited with an Al to indicate that he's already implemented the Maisa Mitzvah. He's making the bracha after the Maisa Mitzvah. The Rambam adds a third mitzvah to that group, and that's Bedikas Chametz. The Rambam says that Al Bir Chametz is the chosen nusach because he was already mavatal the Chametz Belibo even before he embarked on the Bedika. So at least on a Doraisa level, he's already fulfilled his mitzvah of Bir Chametz. The Ravid claims that the Rambam has a whole other group of mitzvahs that belong to this category where the bracha is being recited after the Maisa Mitzvah, and therefore the bracha should be with an Al. And that is a bracha on a mitzvah when he forgot to recite the bracha before he put on the tefillin or on the tzitzis, or before he sat in the sukkah. But the Rambam says, Asiyosa adayin kayemis. He still has the tzitzis on his beged that he's wearing. He still is me'utar b'tfillin. He's still sitting in the sukkah. So even though he's not actively involved in a mitzvah, but the original action in the mitzvah still exists, so to speak. It continues. And that continuous mitzvah allows him to make the bracha after the Maisa Mitzvah. So he's already put on the tefillin, he's already put on the beged, he's already sat in the sukkah, but nevertheless he can make the bracha. But here, the Ravid says that according to the Rambam, you have to shift the nusach ha-bracha from lamed to an al, because al indicates that the bracha was, or the mitzvah was already implemented. Again, actively the Maisa Mitzvah was done, the hanochas tefillin was done, but the Al is on the continuous mitzvah, and the Al reflects the entire mitzvah as an entity, whereas the Lamed means that I'm obligated to do this action And that I can only recite before the action, but after the action is done, I can recite a bracha on the entire enterprise of the mitzvah. We call it the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah, the Kiyum HaMitzvah, and that's the bracha of Al. The Rambam says that you can't make a bracha with a lamed if you're a shliach, because you're not obligated in the mitzvah, and therefore the shliach can only make a bracha with an al and not a lamed. So that according to the Rambam, there's a fundamental distinction between the father who is circumcising his own son as opposed to the moel who is circumcising ben chavero. In the first case, he's going to make a bracha lamul es haben because he's obligated in this maisa mila. So the lamed indicates an asiya of a chiyuv. According to the Rambam, in the case of a shliach, I cannot have the shliach be mevarach with a lamed because he can't be mevarach on the chiyuv to do this maisa. He's not obligated, and therefore he can only make a bracha in a more general sense on the chefetz shel mitzvah, the entity of the mitzvah. And therefore, the moel will make the bracha al hamila. That's the Rambam shita. The Ravid himself claims that he disagrees with the Rambam for the following reason. He says that according to his understanding, even in a case of Adayin Hasiya Kayemes, the bracha remains with a lamet. That's the Ravid shita. The Ravid is not willing to accept the Rambam who shift the nusach bracha from a lamet to an al simply because he already put on his tefillin. Because if the Rambam's logic is correct, that he still could be mevarach over lasiyosim because Adayin Hasiya Kayemes, then the appropriate nusach would be a lamet. So let's just analyze for a minute this machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. According to the Rambam, if I've already implemented the Maisa Mitzvah, I already put on my tefillin, I have to now shift the bracha from a lamed and replace it with an al, because I can't be mevarach la asos, in this case lehaniach, or leshev, or lehisatev, because I've already done that. And how can you say that I'm obligated to do what I've already done? And therefore the Rambam fits this entire category of Adayin Asiyosa Kayemis into the category of Netilas Lulav and Bir Chometz and Tfilas Hager, because in all those cases the bracha is recited after the Asiyah. So the Rambam says, who I did, if you have your tefillin on your head, or if you have your tzitzis on your beggar that you're wearing, that's called a bracha, not on the Asiyah, because the Asiyah is already gone, but on the Kiyum HaMitzvah, which is a continuous Kiyum even beyond the Asiyah, as long as I have the tefillin on my head. The Ravid, on the other hand, says, well, if you're applying the logic of Adayin Asiyosa Kayemes, then it means that the original Asiyah still exists. And that's what justifies your ability to make a bracha. And if that be the case, then you make a bracha lasos, because the Asiyah is still there. It could be that the Ravid holds, and this would be this would have tremendous repercussions, like throwing a stone into a river. It has a ripple effect throughout the Torah. The Ravid holds that whenever you set up an action, then that action, if it continues to have an impact, it's considered like every second you're doing that action. For example, the Gemara says in Masechta Makis that if a Nazir goes into Beis HaKvaros, he gets one set of malchus for entering into the Beis HaKvaros. If I give him Asra and I say to him, you better get out of the Beis HaKvaros, and he remains in the Beis HaKvaros, we give him another set of malchus. And according to the Ravid, that makes a lot of sense, because Adayin Asiyosa Kayemes means that as long as he remains within the Beis HaKvaros, it's as if he's entering into the Beis HaKvaros. Why? Because he's not removing or undermining the original Asiyah. And as long as the Asiyah continues and he doesn't undermine it, then it's as if right now he's considered engaging in that action. If the Halacha recognizes that, therefore the Ravid says, we should still make the bracha with the lamed. Obviously, the Ravid agrees that in the case of tefillah, where you've already implemented the Maisa Tefillah is already gone, then the bracha should be with an al. If you've already taken the lulav, you're holding on to the lulav is gone, meaning the netila, the action of the netila is gone, and therefore you can only make a bracha with an al. That would be the Ravid shita.
So with the tefillin, you wouldn't even have to adjust them. You could just leave them as they are to say the bracha.
Right. Some of the poskim say that you should be mamashmesh betfilov. You know, you should make sure that he straightens out his tefillin, and then he can make a bracha on that. because they hold like the Ravid, but they want to gain the Rambam. They hold like the Ravid that the bracha is still going to be with the Lamed, but they want to justify that according to the Rambam, who says the bracha should be with an Al. Meaning, how do you justify making a bracha on Niach once the tefillin is on you? You have to do some sort of an action. Not like the Ravid who says that the original action continues to exist. We can all like the Rambam, that the original action is gone, but yet the continuous kiyum. No, if it's a continuous kiyum, then you should be making a bracha with an Al and not with a Lamed. And we're going to have to say that he has to do some sort of action. In the case of Sukkah, it's a little bit easier, because in the case of Sukkah, every Achila could be viewed as an action. The Rambam Lushitasa holds that the action is the yeshiva, you know, sitting yourself down. Whereas the other poskim would say, no, that every time you do an action is, say, you know, Teshu came to do it, that action is considered a maisa mitzvah. In the case of Talis, I'm not sure exactly what would be the comparable situation. Maybe you would have to straighten out your Talis in some sort of way. I don't know. Now, this concept of making a bracha after the mitzvah is a very fascinating concept, because the Arza Rua is of the opinion that any mitzvah that you implemented the mitzvah, and now you remind yourself that you didn't make the bracha, you make the bracha after the mitzvah. And this whole din of over lasiyosin, according to the Arza Rua, is only l'chatchila. In the ideal state, you should be making the bracha before the mitzvah. If you forgot to do so, you make the bracha after the mitzvah. Now the question is, according to the Arza Rua, how long of a period of time will we give you? You know, you did the mitzvah, and now all of a sudden you bang yourself in your mind, well, I didn't make the bracha, so what, a day later you're going to make the bracha? It doesn't make any sense. Tosafot says that the mitzvah of lulav only continues because we anticipate the nanuim and halil. But there is a Gemara in Sukkah which, believe it or not, seems to imply, if you take, it's a little bit of an agadita, but if you take the Gemara literally, it seems to imply that just holding the lulav is a mitzvah. Forget about nanuim. The Gemara tells us about the Anshei Yerushalayim that their minhag was that they held the lulav the entire day. And during the course of the day, they would be Mavakir Cholim, they would be Menachem Avelim, and they would always hold on to the lulav. The lulav itself was indicative of the future, the end of days, and it was a nechama, it was a comfort for the sick and for the bereaved. And it seems like just holding on to the lulav is like an ongoing mitzvah. But I will tell you this, in the case of Bris Milah, there is an ongoing mitzvah. If you recall, back on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, we had the Shita Rabbeinu Tam, that the father's bracha of Lachniso is recited after the milah. And Rabbeinu Tam gives a very elaborate explanation as to why that is so. How could you make a bracha lachniso with a lamed after the milah? You know, it's Rabbeinu Tam who has a diuk from a sugya in Shabbos, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, that it seems that the father makes the bracha lachniso after the milah. So the Rashba in Tosis turns to the Rabbeinu Tam and he says, how could that be? Lachniso is with the Lamed, and Lamed is Lahaba Mashma. In the future, you've already done the Mila. How can you recite the Bracha Lachniso? And Rabbeinu Tam gives his whole elaborate explanation that this Bracha is not a Birchas HaMitzvah, and so forth and so on. Others want to claim, and we'll see exactly where they came to this conclusion, is that you can make a bracha with a lamed on mila even after the maisa mila was done. Because they want to claim that mila is not just a maisa mila, and that's not where the mitzvah begins and ends, like lulav, or like shechita, but rather that mila is an ongoing mitzvah. So I think I may have mentioned to you that Mila has two parts to it. It's got the Maisa Mila, and it's also a Chalushem Ben Bris. Do you remember this? That the child enters into a different status. His very status changes. He's now considered a Ben Bris. And that has halachic implications as far as eating from Kodshim and so forth. So it could be that the bracha of Lachniso is not on that dimension of the Maisa Mila. For that we have the bracha of Lamul in the case of a father, or Ala Mila in the case of a Moel. That's on the Maisa Mila. And now we have another bracha, Lachniso, on the Shem Bris, which is an ongoing Chal Shem. It's a status change that continues every second. And on that status change, the bracha is Chal even after the Asiyah. So that again, even though the universal principle of Birchas HaMitzvah is over L'Asiyah son, the exception to the rule is going to be a mitzvah which has another dimension to it, namely an ongoing status change. And on that ongoing status change, that every second he's a Ben Bris, and it's all a result of the Mila, he can make a bracha Lachniso B'Bris HaShel Avraham Avinu. So imagine a person becomes a Baal Tshuva, and he undergoes Mila. It could be that even if the Mila was done on a Sunday, or maybe even when he was born, he can make the bracha Lachniso B'Bris HaShel Avraham Avinu at the age of 90. It wouldn't bother me. Because the bracha of Lachniso, again, the bracha of Ala Mila, it's too late. It's way too late. It's like 90 years and 8 days too late. But as far as the bracha of Lachniso, that he can recite. Because right now, that status of a Ben Bris is being generated. It's like, remember we say in Davening, Mechadish b'chol yom tovid ma'aseh b'reishis, that God is continuously creating the world. Right this second, God is creating the world. From Ayin to Yesh. Right this second, my original Mila is generating a new Chal Hashem Ben Bris. And on that new Chal Hashem Ben Bris, I can recite the Bracha Lachniso Lahava Mashma in the future. And they base themselves on another statement of Rabbeinu Tam. That Rabbeinu Tam says that the bracha on Nisuin, on marriage, should be recited after he gives her the tabas. Our minig is that before he gives her the tabas, he makes the bracha. But not all the Rishonim agree with that. Many Rishonim are of the opinion that the bracha should be recited after he already married her. Now the question is, what about over L'Asiyosan? So they want to claim that what?
It's ongoing.
It's, yeah, what do we call ongoing? It's a chalashem. It's a chalashem. In other words, that her status as an Ashes Ish is being recreated and regenerated every split second. On that recreation of the Shem Ashes Ish, he makes the bracha. And there's a famous story about Reb Shimon and Reb Chaim. Reb Shimon Shkop was a younger contemporary Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim Brisker. And the legend goes that Reb Shimon told Reb Chaim that he believes that every second my wife is becoming a new Eishes Ish, that the Chal Hashem is regenerating itself. So Reb Chaim said to Reb Shimon, Oy bazoy, kum tira mazel tov. He was married for 50 years. Kum tira mazel tov.
So theoretically, Avraham Avinu made the bracha after he was
born. After what?
So now we get into a heavy issue. What was the status? We touched on it earlier this morning. What was the status of the Mila of Avraham Avinu? Was it a Mila as Gerus? Or was it just a separate mitzvah that he got from HaKadosh Baruch? As a separate mitzvah to do Mila? Or was that Mila itself effectuated Gerus? So the Ramban at the end of Parshas Emor, in the Parsha of the Ben Ish Mitzri, you remember the Makalel, so the Ramban there says that Avraham Avinu, it's questionable what the Ramban means, but let's assume, I'm not trying to prejudice you, but let's assume the Ramban means that Bagoyim Lo Yischashav means he entered into the status, he changed his status as Yisrael from the time of the Mila. That's what the Ramban says. So the Ramban seems to understand that the Mila of Avraham Avinu was a Milas Gerus. Because, you know, the famous question, how is the Gerus before Matan Torah? We find Gerus here and Gerus there. Wherever you look, Chazal talk about Gerus. Well, it was before Matan Torah. So the Ramban seems to indicate that with the Mila of Avraham Avinu, there was Gerus. Now you're asking, how did Avraham Avinu make the bracha? Because Akati Gavra Lo Chazi then, you know. So it could be that the bracha he made was on the mitzvah of Mila as a separate independent mitzvah that he got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you can say, Asher Kidshonu. But the question is, what does it mean? Asher kicharu mitzvosav etzivanu. I don't know the answer to this question. But let's assume that he made that bracha. So it's interesting because, you know, shechita we said was a classical example of a mitzvah shenasis miyad. You know, immediately after the shechita, it's already too late to make the bracha. But if you hold this whole approach of a chal shem, then it could be that the shechita changes the status of the animal from an avela to a kosher, and that itself is an ongoing chal shem. I don't know. Now, before we go on, I just want to point out to you that the rush that I gave out, I don't know if we still have a copy of it. I probably don't have my copy anymore, so if you have the rush, let me just read to you a few lines from the rush. You remember that the rush quoted Rabbeinu Tam, and then he quotes the Riva. So again, I can't tell you in the photocopy I gave you what line it's on, because I don't have that in front of me, but in the classical text of a Vilna Shas, in the Rush, it's on the left page, right? There are two pages here, where again, everything here is in Simon Yud, and it's about five lines down from the top. He writes, you have such a Gemara, Jerry? Or you have, yeah? So open up the page, Kuf Chav Dalit. Again, if the pagination in yours is the same. No, it's not. Okay, so that's not going to help you. And five lines down, he says the Riva Hayu Mechalik. Now, keep in mind that the Riva was focused on the one clue that the Gemara gave us to justify the brach of an al, and that was the kash. The Gemara asked, according to the Man Yomar, who says that every brach has to be with a lamed, what are you going to do with Mila? In the case of Mila, it says that the brach is with an al. So the Gemara answers because Lo sagile de la viu moil, meaning that he's the moil, he's not obligated in the milah. So the Riva sees in this one line of Gemara a klal, and he says the following: there are two categories of mitzvahs. Mitzvah the efshal asosal yidei shliach mevarech al. Mitzvah shehu bi atzmo tzarech lasosa tzarech levarech bolamit. What do you notice about the Riva in his classification of mitzvahs, and therefore which class deserves a lamed and which an al?
In the second part, he doesn't say who.
Correct. It does, in the Riva's reference, it doesn't matter who's actually doing the mila.
Right.
It we're defining the mitzvah, not the doer of the mitzvah. And if the mitzvah itself lends itself to shlichus, then the Riva says we have to make a brach with an al. According to the Riva, in the case of a mitzvah that doesn't lend itself to shlichus, and you can never have shlichus, then the mitzvah is with a lamed. So, for example, in tefillin or in tzitzis or leishet basukah, any mitzvah which involves my own personal body, I can't appoint you as an agent on my behalf. The bracha is always going to be with a lamed. But if you have a mitzvah the likes of which can lend itself to shlichus, even if I'm not the shliach, I'm doing it myself, then the bracha is with an al. So for example, according to the Riva, if a father is circumcising his own son, which nusach would he use?
Al.
And that's against the Rambam. The Rambam constantly repeats himself in the last chapter of his bracha. He says it all depends who's doing the mitzvah. Now, you can understand the Riva on a very technical level. And he means to say that we're not going to switch around the Nusach HaBracha. We're going to define the Nusach HaBracha as appropriate for each mitzvah. Once we define this mitzvah, and the Shliach for sure is going to make a bracha with an al, then the Riva is not going to tolerate that we're going to switch the Nusach HaBracha on that very same mitzvah because he himself, the father, is circumcising his son. Or for example, in the case of Shechita, you're going to tell me that, well, if I'm shechting the animal, and you're not shechting the animal, so I make the bracha with an al. But if you're going to shech the animal, let's say it's your carbon pesach, you're going to make the bracha with a lamed. The Riva doesn't tolerate that. According to the Riva, we analyze the mitzvah, and it has to be categorized under one of two different classifications. Either it's efshel asosei deishliyah, or it's efshel asosei deishliyah. And the Rambam is not like that. So the machlokas here between the Rambam and the Riva could be understood on a very technical level. You know, the Rambam is more flexible with Nusach HaBracha. He's willing to switch the Nusach. And, you know, whenever you do a mitzvah, you have to call up your Rambam, you know, and ask him, well, what Nusach should I use? Because it becomes complicated. The Rivas says, no, there's a mitzvah book. Look up your mitzvah, and you'll find it either in the Al section of the book or in the Lamed section of the book. And I was thinking to myself, yeah, go ahead, Jerry, you want to say something?
If somebody's infirm, Lo Aleinu, and someone else puts on the tefillin for you, you make an halal or a
Interesting. That's a fascinating question. In other words, in this case, we should, if we accept the Ravid's interpretation of the Rambam, before we get to the Ravid's own sheet, then the answer should be, it should be with an al. Why? Because I'm not doing the action of Hanocha. Someone else is doing the action. So therefore, I need a bracha on the Kiyum HaMitzvah, which would be with an al. According to the Ravid, it gets a little bit complicated. But I got a little distracted. Let me just focus on the Riva for a minute. The Riva is saying that if the mitzvah itself is Efshel L'Kayim HaYidei Shliach, then it's a bracha with an al, and we're not going to differentiate between who's actually doing the mitzvah. So again, as I said before, I'm not denying that you can understand the Riva on a very technical level, you know, but I always like to look beyond the technicality. You know, there's something below the surface. We have a principle which is formulated by the Gemara at the beginning of the second Perek of Kiddushin called Mitzvah Bo Yosem Mibishlucha. So if all things are equal and there's no necessity, I will do the mitzvah myself rather than delegate it to an agent, to a proxy. And that's derived from Sukkim, Mitzvah Bo Yosem Mibishlucha. So let me offer two interpretations of Mitzvah Bo Yosem Mishlucha. One interpretation is what I call Chavivus HaMitzvah, which means, in general, I always try as much as I can to demonstrate my love for a mitzvah. That a mitzvah is not just done perfunctorily, mechanically, but it's a great opportunity. I'll give you a few examples. We say Mitzvah Bo Yadcha, don't delay a mitzvah, don't postpone it. Do it with enthusiasm, with a sense of urgency. If you have an opportunity, take advantage of the opportunity. Imagine, you know, she says yes and she agrees to marry you. You're not going to delay marrying her because maybe she'll change her mind. You know what I'm saying? So marry her at the first opportune moment. So if you have a mitzvah going your way, don't delay it. That's called Chavivus HaMitzvah. The Gemara says Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita. You know, a mitzvah is very special if you do it at the first opportune moment. Then we have another klal, which is also very similar, of Hider Mitzvah, Zekelim Yanveyu. You know, we love the mitzvah so much we want to beautify it. Now we have another case, and that's Shlichus. Don't give it to a proxy to represent you, you know, as if you're a lazy bones. You're not interested in doing the mitzvah. But get involved in the mitzvah yourself. That's also Chaviva Sam Mitzvah. That's one way of learning Mitzvah Bo Yosef Mishlucho. The other way of learning Mitzvah Bo Yosef Mishlucho is that it's not just a general principle of Chavivus HaMitzvah, but it reflects on the mitzvah itself. When I do the mitzvah, I'm the Bar Chiyuva, I'm the one who's obligated the mitzvah, and when I implement the mitzvah myself, it's a merger of Chiyuv and Maisa. And that's the ultimate level of a mitzvah. There are two levels of mitzvahs, and they shouldn't be compared. One is the mitzvah, which means the kiyum mitzvah, and the ma'aseh mitzvah is nothing more than a kiyum mitzvah, sort of like a means to an end. And another mitzvah is a whole different category of a mitzvah. It's qualitatively different. It's the merger of the chiyuv and the body of the mechuyuv. The physical body of the mechuyuv involved in the kiyum mitzvah enhances the mitzvah to such an extent that it's a brand new mitzvah. So I was thinking that maybe you could suggest that that's the machlokas here between the Rambam and the Riva. The Rambam says that there's a fundamental difference between the Bar Chiyuva implementing the mitzvah and his Shliach. It's two different mitzvahs. They may look the same externally, but on a more profound level, they're simply different mitzvahs. And that has to reflect itself in the bracha. The Nusach HaBracha has to change according to the Rambam, because the involvement of the physical body of the Bar Chiyuva impacts on the mitzvah in a very essential way. Like, for example, I was always wondering, let's say if I would want to do the mitzvah at the earliest possible time, I would have to send the shliach. But if I delay the mitzvah a little bit, I could do it myself. So I have to weigh on the scale two principles in mitzvahs. One principle is al tach mitzvah, don't postpone a mitzvah. And the other principle would be do it yourself and don't send an agent. Which would be greater? According to the Rambam, I have no doubt. Mitzvah bo yosef mishlucha would be that much greater. If you have to wait an hour until you'll be free to do the mitzvah and implement it, that's what you're going to do. Ay, al tach mitzena, you're being machmitz the mitzvah, you know, it's fermenting, no, I want to do it myself. That's going to change an impact on the mitzvah itself. And the Rambam wants to suggest that if the Bar Chiyuv is doing the mitzvah, he should make the bracha with a lament. I, the shliach who's doing the same mitzvah, he's circumcising my son, he's going to make the bracha with a lament, with an al, says the Rambam, that's a different mitzvah. That's essentially a different mitzvah. Whereas the Rivan understood that, no, you know what, mitzvah bo yosef mishlucho is a reflection of a general principle of chavivus ha-mitzvah. It doesn't really impact on the mitzvah per se. Nothing essentially changes. It's the same old mitzvah. And therefore the bracha, the nusach ha-bracha should be the same. All right, let me give you back this rush here. So you'll see the revolver here on line 5. There's a lot more to this Rivah. Maybe if we get a chance tomorrow. Now we're going to learn a little Bikias, as I call it. You know, we have to sort of forge ahead. And the Gemara wants to know, the Mishnah says, at the beginning of Pesachim, on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, it's been so long since we learned the Mishnah, we have to refresh our memories. It says, Orli Arvasar Bodkim Es HaChametz. What are the next two words? Liar Haner. Okay, Liar Haner. You gotta use a Ner. Okay, so how important is a Ner? And why is it, and how do we know that, you know, how did the Mishnah know, for that matter, that it's a Ner? So the Gemara says, Minani Mili. Let's just make sure everybody has the place. It's after the two dots. Again, if you have the classical, old-fashioned Bavli from Vilna, you know, you'll find it counting up from the wide lines, you know, going upwards, if you know what I mean. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up. How do we know that Bedika requires Or Haner? The Gemara is going to give the same answer three times. It gets a little bit boring after a while, but the Gemara repeats itself over and over again. Now, what the Gemara is doing here, it's creating a chain, almost like a chadgadya, that has different parts to it. And what happens is that, let's say, A and B have the same concept mentioned, and then B has, in addition to that same concept, another concept, and that generates an equation between B and C. Once you have the equation between B and C, then there's automatically the equation between A and C, because the transmutative law, because A has the same thing. So let's go through the psukim. Omer Avchizda, Lamadnu Metzia. Okay, now this word Metzia here refers to Bal Yimotze. You may remember that the Torah says, Shivas Yomim Sior Lo Yimotze Bivatechem. So what you have to do is, you have to do a Metziah, meaning to make it impossible that you would find Chametz, you have to somehow look for Chametz. Now, how do you find a Metziah? So for that, we're going to learn it from Mi Metziah, from another Metziah. And this is going to be the case of the Gavia of the Shvatim. If you remember that they deliberately, it's a libel, what do you call it? They deliberately hid the Gavia. What? Is that the word, a libel? The setup? A frame. Okay, we'll call it a frame. Okay, so in this frame, they were actually searching for the Gavia. And there too, we're going to find the word Metziah. So we're going to have to analyze the following. How did they find the Gevir? What did they do? What did they implement in order to find the Gevir? And that's going to be Metziah, because in that pasuk, when they found the Metziah, when they found the Gevir, it says Vayimotze. And that's called Metziah mi Metziah. Now, in the pasuk, of finding and locating the gevia, we find the word chipus. They searched and they found. Seek and you shall find. And that's called chipus. So we learn metzia mi chipus. So once we learn metzia mi chipus, then we go back to the original metzia mi metzia, and we assume that the original metzia also has to be bechipus. Okay, so how do you achieve chipus? And now we say chipus mi chipus. We have another chipus. And in that second chipus, which is going to be Yerushalayim, we'll see, there the Torah says, the Tanakh says, that it's got to be with a ner, with a candle. So now the Gemara explains. Mitziyah mi mitziyah d'chsiv hacha. Here it says, as far as chametz is concerned, shivas yom siyol lo yimatzei b'vateich, and the word mitziyah. But we don't know how you achieve mitziyah. Uksiv hasam, when the shliach of Yosef was looking for the gevia amongst the shvatim, the pasuk says, v'ichapeis bagadol hechel, u'bakaton kila, v'yimatzei. So we see the word mitziyah again, and now we see that mitziyah that applies in the case of looking for the gevia applies also in the case of looking for chametz to make sure that he has no chametz. And in the second pasuk here of mitziyah, which is the case of the gevia, it says vayichapes, and that's called mitziyah mechipus di day. That we take the chipus in this pasuk, and we define that the mitziyah at the end of this pasuk vayimotze was achieved through chipus. So how do you achieve mitziyah? Through chipus. Okay, now what is chipus? How do you achieve chipus? Chipus means searching, but we don't know it has to be liar and ner. So the answer is chipus mi neros. Then we have another chipus in which the Torah says that that chipus is with neros. The siv, the pasuk says, I think this is Zechariah. Where is this pasuk? Just 1 second.
Zephaniah.
Okay, in Zephaniah it says the following. But es hahi achapes es Yerushalayim ba neros. So you see that chipus is through neros. Now notice please that nowhere in this pasuk does it say metziah, but that doesn't matter because we've already established the equation between metziah and chipus in the previous pasuk in the case of the Shvatim. So we know that metziah has to be achieved through chipus, we just don't know what chipus is. Well, how do you achieve chipus? So we're going to look for the pasuk chipus somewhere in Tanakh, and we're going to find the pasuk chipus, and in that context we're going to find neros, because it says Beisahi, Achabe says Yerushalayim b'neros. And we'll see in this nevuah exactly what God is looking for when he looks through Yerushalayim b'neros. Now the next line in the Gemara is very, very difficult, and the Gemara is going to try to analyze it later, but the statement here is the following. And Rav Chisli says, "Veneros mi ner." Now somehow I need to equate neros, somehow trying to define exactly what neros means, and we're going to define it from ner. Dichsiv, because the pasuk says, "Ner Hashem nishmas Adam." The pasuk in Mishle, "Ner Hashem nishmas Adam chofes kol chadre vaten." So you see here in this pasuk, it says that Chofes, how does he look? He looks with an air. He looks through the Chadrei Vaten with an air. Okay, so that's Neros Miner, because again in the pasuk in Tzfanya it says, Ba'isai Yachapes Yisrael Be Neros. It says in the plural. So how do we know that Neros could be with one Ner? Again, we're going to clarify this in a minute. And that's from this pasuk in Mishlei. Tana Debei Rabbi Yisrael, second round. This is round number two. This is repetition. Le'al arbas arbokim esach chomis lara ner afal pishen raya ledavar zecher ledavar. How do we know that the mitzvah b'dik has to be fulfilled with ar haner? So he says, I don't have a raya. I can't prove it to you, but I have a zecher. I have some sort of a hint at it. So Rashi says, why is it impossible to derive this as a raya? It's a little bit disappointing. Here we got very excited about this raya. So if you count up five lines, maybe six lines, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines up from the bottom in Rashi, Rashi says, the divrei Torah mi divrei kabbalah ninhu. In other words, now we're dealing with a doraisa. So we're trying to derive what the Torah means by lo yimotze, lo yimotze. How can I protect myself from the violation of lo yimotze? That's a Doraisa question. And the answer is going to be because it says mitzia. Okay, but what's mitzia? Ah, mitzia means chipus. Yeah, but what's chipus? So the answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares v'yisayi achapes es Yerushalayim b'neiros. Yeah, but wait a second. That pasuk appears in Tzfanya Novi. And that's called Divrei Kabbalah. And we have a principle, Divrei Torah, Divrei Kabbalah lo yalfin. And so on a technical level, the fact that you invoke the pasuk in Tzfanya to prove that Chippus has to be Beneros, that doesn't prove anything as far as the Doraisa Aloch of lo yimotzei. Now, I would comment here that Tosis, at the very beginning of the Masechta, claims that Bedikas Chametz is only Derabbanan. So if it's only Derabbanan, then all I need is is some sort of zeichel ledover. You know, I don't have to have a raya from. You know, I don't have to be committed to the strict, rigorous rules of deriving halachas. But Rashi Lashitos at the very beginning of Pesachim says that kedesh lo yavrul of bal yirabai yimotze, and I have no doubt that Rashi got it from this Gemara, because Rashi holds that afal pishen raya ledover means that we can't prove anything from Tanakh regarding a mitzvah d'oraisa of bedikas chametz. So Rashi understood that bedikas chametz was lo yimotze. It was a necessary requirement that the Torah required in order to avoid lo yimotze. So you can't derive that from Divrei Kabbalah. But in any event, Rashi says clearly at the very beginning of Masechta Pesachim, it's actually, I think, the first Rashi in the Masechta, is it not? Or maybe the second Rashi, Kidesh lo yavar olav b'val yiroa b'val yimotze. Well, you can call it the third Rashi. The first two Rashis really are not so relevant to us, but the third Rashi, Rashi says, Bodkim shalo yavar olav b'val yiroa b'val yimotze. So we're dealing with the Divrei Torah. But Zeichel Adover. What's the Zeichel Adover? Shenem HaShivas Yomim Seholi Yimotze. V'Omer, and the Pasuk says, V'Chapes V'Godol Heichel V'Katon Kilo Yimotze. V'Omer, and we have a third Pasuk, V'Yisahi HaChapes Yishlaim B'Neros. And now we have a fourth Pasuk, V'Omer, Ner Hashem Nishmas Odom Chofes Kol Chadrei Votem. So the Gemara asks, my V'Omer, why did you have to quote the Pasuk at the end of this whole series? Pasuk number 4, which is from Mishlei, of Ner Hashem, Nishmas Odom. And the answer is, V'chi Teimo, maybe you'll say the Pasuk in Tzfanya is not a good proof that Bedikas Chametz requires a Ner. Because maybe there's something even more powerful than a Ner. That real Chippus requires a torch, and a candle is not sufficient. For that, I need the pasuk Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. But without the pasuk Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, if we only have the pasuk in Tzfanya, which states that ani, what's the pasuk again? Va'esahi achapes es Yerushalayim b'neiros, I might think that's a secondary, lower grade chippus, meaning a chippus that's not accurate, that's not powerful, and it won't find everything. You know, you can do a chippus on two different levels. You can do a basic chippus, and you can do a more superficial chippus. Like, let me give you a mashal. Again, it's not an accurate mashal, but let's say you could sweep the floor, or you could use a vacuum cleaner. Right, or today they have robots. I don't know. So let's assume, again, when I was in elementary school, I remember doing we had a debating society, so I had to debate the issue of automation. You know, automation. Do anybody remember that? I mean, then you're really dating yourself. So when machines started working, so the issue was, you know, machines were replacing people. So there was a whole issue, you know, maybe we shouldn't go so fast. Today it's unbelievable. Before we know it, the whole concept of a cashier won't exist anymore because we were so advanced in technology. But let's assume a machine could theoretically do a better job than a human being. So that's, you know, there's one way of looking for for something is by using human efforts or superficial looking. Another way is to do something much more fundamental. So what kind of a chippus is required for the mitzvah of bedikas chametz? Is it the superficial chippus or is it the more fundamental chippus? So for this I need an extra pasuk. Why? Because if I only had the pasuk of chippus in Tzfanya Beis HaChapes Es Yushalayim Ben Neros, God is saying, you know what, I'm not going to use a torch, I'm going to use Neros. That's a secondary kind of chippus. Why? I'm not going to take an avuka. Avuka is a torch. It's got at least two wicks to it that combine. But God says, you know what? Out of my compassion, I'm not going to look with an avuka. I'm going to look with a secondary kind of thing. Why? Avuka is nafish nahoratuv. It has a lot of light. It's a very intense light. And Akash Baruch declares, Ella b'nahora d'shraga, I'm going to use the light of a candle. A candle in Aramaic is called a shraga. D'zutar nahora tfei. Zutar means it's less, right? So the light of the candle is relative to the light of a torch, of an avuka, is inferior in quality. And why is Hashem doing this? Where's the compassion of God? The avon rabba mishtakach, the avon zuta lo mishtakach. I'm going to discover the real serious sins, you know, the cardinal sins, but I'm going to overlook the smaller sins. So God's compassion for Yerushalayim, because this was the point in which he had to make the decision whether to destroy Yerushalayim, God says, you know what, I'll only look for the big pieces, if you know what I mean. And therefore I'm going to reduce the level of chippus from that of an avuka down to that of what? A nair. Excellent. Tashma. How do I disprove this? How do I know that this is not true and that you could really achieve a genuine chippus with a nair? And later on the Gemara is going to ask, why is the chippus with a nair in the case of bedikas chametz superior than a bedika with an avuka? And the Gemara is going to give three different answers to that question. But before we get to that, the Gemara has to prove that a nair is sufficient for chippus. Tashma, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam Chofes. In other words, the chippus there is a very meticulous chippus, because the end of the pasuk says Kol Chadrei Baten, which means he's looking into every single cheder of the kishkas of a person, and that's described as ner. The chippus is with a ner. So Tosus Dibra Maskel Veneros Miner VeKasha Dehavilei LeMeimar. Chippus miner, velo neros miner. Why didn't the Gemara just simply omit the pasuk in Tzfanya, where it says neros, and simply jump directly to the goal, to the end zone, and that is the pasuk in Mishlei, which says ner Hashem nishmas al v'chofes kol chadrei baten. V'yesh lomar de chippus lokoi aner. In other words, when it says here, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam Chofes Kol Chadrei Baten, it's not clear that the word Chofes goes back on the word Ner. It could be that Ner is describing the Nishmas Adam. The neshama of a person is like a Ner, like the physical body of a person is like the candle that holds the fire, and the neshama is compared to the fire, and therefore it's the Nishmas Adam. So the Ner itself, the fire itself, is the Nishmas Adam. And then there's another part of the pasuk that says, "Chofes kol chadrei baten." So again, it's not absolutely clear that Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam means that when the end of the pasuk says, "Chofes kol chadrei baten," the chippus itself was with a Ner. But once we find in the case of Tzfanya and Yerushalayim that the chippus is through Neros, now we can interpret that the chippus here in Mishlei is also a chippus al yidei Ner. Tana Rabbanan ein bokim lo liyor acham of lo liyor alvan of lo liyor avuka el liyor haner. The Bryce excludes using sunlight, or relying on the reflection of the moon, the light of the moon, or for that matter, even the use of a torch. Now that makes no sense, Because again, we've lowered the standards and the requirements to that of a nair, but if a person wants to be a super duper machmir and he wants to say, oh well, for me, I'm not going to rely on a nair, I need lots of light, I need an avuka. So what should be the objection in such a case? And the Brisa says, el ol yar nair, the only thing that's acceptable is the yar nair. And at this point we turn to Daf Ches Amud Aleph. Mipnesha Or Haner Yofel Abdika. There's some superior status to the Or Haner. It's on silent. I don't know why I'm hearing those noises. Okay. So now we have the status of Or Haner Yofel Abdika. Or Haner Yofel Abdika. This reminds me of a Gemara that we had back on Daf. Where was it? Let's just see. I think it was Dalet Amud Beis. Let's just see if I'm right. Oh, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Gemara there says that Lo Liftach Inish Be in the Yorsa the Tleisa Nehiga Beis.
In the middle of
Ornia. Yeah, just one second. Give me a second. I'm just trying to juggle two different Gemaras here. Okay. So that's that Gemara. Okay, that's the Cheskas Baduk. And the Gemara says the following. That, why don't we make the Bedika? Why don't we make the Bedika earlier in the day? So Gemara says, "V'shash b'nei adam mitzuyim v'batehem, v'or haner yofe libedika." Just one second here. I'm just trying to see if that Gemara. It's word for word the same Gemara that we're learning now. I'm just trying to figure out if it's the same. It's the same idea. We should make the bedika in the morning. And why would they misakin the bedika at night? Is bishosh mnei adam mitzuyim bebateihem v'or aner yofel lebedika. So here it says or aner, and the Gemara is explaining why we make the bedika so early, the night before, when we could really achieve our goal of avoiding Bal Yeruah Bal Yemotzeh if we make the Bedika on the day of the 14th. And the Gemara says no, that at night Or HaNer is Yofel Bedika. So there's something special about the Or HaNer at night. And now the Gemara is saying that in general the reason why Bedika requires Or HaNer is because Or HaNer is Yofel Bedika. Now again, here's the third Chazara. Third time that the Gemara repeats this. So the Gemara asks the following. Hi or hachama hechi dummy. What is the possibility of checking for chametz to the or hachama? What place in the house is illuminated by the sunlight? The Gemara has two possibilities. The first possibility is inema b'chatzer. If we're talking about the outside courtyard, which is flooded by sunlight, Omar Rava, Chatzer ain't a tzricha b'dika. The animals, the birds, will come and eat the chametz. Whatever left there is going to be taken away. So the arvim, which I think in English, ravens,
yeah,
they will clear out any extra chametz. So that's gone. So you don't even need b'dika in a chatzer. So to tell me that there's we invalidate the Or HaShemesh, the Or HaChama, that doesn't make sense if you're not even chayv in B'dika. El, the Gemara says, Bach Sadra. So the achsadra means that there's a certain passageway in front of the house. It's almost like a traklin, you know, where you go into the house, a prosdor, and it's a very large room, and it's got a ceiling to it, so the birds do not go in there, they don't fly in there. And the achsadra is exposed to a great deal of light, even though it's mekura, even though it has a ceiling on it. So Gemara says, "Amar Rava, that's impossible, because Rava said achsadra liora nivdekes." That since the achsadra, although it has a ceiling on it, but it's open on all four sides, and there's a tremendous amount of sunlight that comes in, is therefore you could be bodek an achsadra liar hachama, which means, let's say, for example, on the 13th of Nisan, during the daytime, he could be bodek this achsadra. There's no need to wait till nighttime to employ the aranair. So you don't even need any light. And I mean to say any artificial light. You can use and rely on the natural light of the sun. If you're relying on the sunlight in the case of achsadra, so how do we reconcile that with the brisa that we just learned that excluded using the arachama, lo tzricha la ruba de becheder, inside the room, which is covered on all four sides, nevertheless there's an opening in the ceiling. I think it's called in English a skylight. Take a look at the, does anybody have an English translation? How do they translate the word aruba? A skylight? So then there's plenty of sun coming in directly from the top, through the ceiling. Oh, so now the question is, since there's so much light coming through the sun, so why would he need a nair? Udehecha. So the Gemara says, what part of the achsadra is he checking? E debahadi aruba. If the aruba is here, and he's checking the area in the room which is directly below the aruba, it's getting a direct hit from the sun, then hainu achsadra, why should the aruba be any different than the achsadra, which has sun coming in on all sides? El litzdadim. But rather, even though the room has a skylight in it, but the skylight doesn't cover all the dimensions of the room, so there are corners of the room that are outside of the direct hit of the sun, and those areas require or haner. Frekta Gemara of avuka lo. Why should you exclude an avuka, a torch? Vama Rava Maidich Sivi quotes a pasuk in Chavakuk with regard to the tzaddikim leasid lavo. It says v'noga ka'or tia karnayim miyado lo v'sham chevyonuzo. In other words, the faces of the tzaddikim in the world to come will shine and radiate a light that's even comparable to the light of Shivas Yimei Bracious. Right? The Gemara says that there was a tremendous light during the days of creation until the Chet of Adam HaRishon. And this light on the faces of the Tzaddikim is a light. Again, it's all futuristic, but it's a light that comes directly from the Ziv Hashchina, from the radiance of God. And the radiance of God now radiates off the faces, the countenances of the tzaddikim. That's again, liyosid lovo. But the Ikar Or is the Ribon Shalom himself. The Shechina itself has the Or. But the Or HaTzaddikim, although we cannot in any way compare it to the Or of the Shechina, nevertheless, it's a reflected image of the radiance of the Shechina. V'lama tzaddikim domim ipnei Hashmi. Ulama tzaddikim domim ipnei Hashchina. How would you compare the tzaddikim to the Shechina? Kener bifnei avuka. It's like a small candle compared to a large torch. So you see that a torch is certainly considered more chashiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina is compared to an avuka. And the countenance of the tzaddik is compared to a ner. And not only that, v'yomar rav avuka l'avdola mitzvah n'amuvchar. If you have two choices for avdola, a single candle with one wick, or an avuka, which is a torch with many wicks, take the one that's an avuka. And now the Gemara gives three answers to the question as to why we prefer Or HaNer to an avuka. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Zeh Yochalach Nisa Lecharnus Stokiv. You can take the Aranair and go into small places. Right? Chori means holes in the crevices and Stokiv. Is bizarre, but you take an avuka, what's going to happen if you put it into a small place? Yeah, the whole building will go aflame, right? Is any yochalach nisal chornus stokim? Rav Zvid gives another explanation. Zeh, meaning the or lefon of the ner, gives a light in front of it. Vizeh, the avuka, oro lachorov. So the thrust of the light, the main part of the light, is thrown behind you. So you're not going to do a proper bedika because you need the or and ner going in front of you, and that's achieved by a candle. And finally, the Gemara answers, Rav Papa Omar, high boys for high low boys. Boys misusa means fear. He says if you're going to use an avuka, you're always afraid. You know, you're nervous that, you know, the ceiling will go aflame. Ah, I'm sorry, the four answers to the Gemara. I thought it was only three. Ravino mar high meshach moshach nahora. The high miktaf iktufe. The light of an air is superior because it's nimshach oro. Vinoach b'mokom echad. In other words, the ner is very concentrated on one specific spot. V'hai, but in the case of avuka miktaf iktaf, then it sort of moves around. It's a spread out, a diffused kind of light, and it jumps a little bit, and it's not something that's conducive for the proper bedika. So if you talk about the intensity of the light pure, then surely an avuka has a more intensive light. And that's why in the case of Avdullah, we're going to prefer making Avdullah on an avuka. If you talk about the radiance of Hashem in comparison to the radiance of the tzaddikim, then you're certainly talking about an avuka. But if you're talking about the specific act of bedika, we have to get into Chorin Stokim, you have to be uninhibited, without any fear that the place is going to go up in flames, and with a very concentrated light that number one goes in front of you, and number two is concentrated on one specific area, those are the added advantages, the superior qualities of an Or HaNer. Okay then, so I want to just get to the next sugya, which is a brand new sugya, Kol Mokom She'ein Machnisim, and that's where we'll start tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. Wish everyone a great day, and I still reserve the rights to add a little bit about Aleph Lev, because again, that sugya is very hard for me to part with.